Thank you again, Pastor Vincent, for having us and for having me personally. I love this format, by the way. Do you have any idea of how hard it is for us preachers to even get through our introduction in 5 minutes? Much less tackle a topic of such magnitude, such powerful words as we are today. But with so little time to spare, let us jump right into our text. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Tetelestai. One word in Greek, three words in English. It is finished. This term carries the idea of fulfilling one's task or fulfilling one's obligations. In fact, this term has been found in ancient papyri tax code receipts to indicate that a tax burden has been paid in full. So it becomes imperative as we hear Jesus say the words, "It is finished." We must ask, what is it? And how is it finished? And that important question is answered in this. What is finished is our debt to sin. That is what has been paid in full. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The wrath of God poured out on Jesus as a sin offering so that we could be presented to God the Father, dressed in his righteousness and not our own, was accomplished. Dare I say, it has been finished. This was not our work, but Jesus paid our debt and established our righteousness all at once upon the cross. And through his completed work on the cross, the separation between a holy and perfect God and a sinful, broken man has been finished. The atonement, the at-one-ment between God and man has been completed. The fulfillment of the law has been finished. The prophecies of the Messiah who was to come, some written hundreds of years before his coming, finished. Completed. The Levitical system that pointed out our need for a Savior, finished, and dare I say, even rendered obsolete. The satisfaction of the justice of God, finished. And the removal of the sting and power of death itself. Jesus is now crying, "It is finished." That is what Jesus' victory cry of Tetelestai from the cross means. And when we say it is finished, we mean it is finished. It is completed. There is nothing more to be added to Jesus' perfect and completed work on the cross. The reason one of our earlier readings Jesus could proclaim to a man worthy of capital punishment that he will be with Jesus in paradise is because it is finished. That man had no time to do good works, no time to make it out to a Good Friday service, as all good Christian people do, or some people think. But he had no time to be baptized, no time to do penance, or to add any other good work to his salvation, as many people erroneously claim that we're required to do. We are not. It is finished. The reason Jesus could give this thief on the cross so much assurance is because of these words that it is finished. As the popular modern hymn, "In Christ Alone," so boldly claims, on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. And here in the death of Christ, I live. So when we say that, it means it is finished. That's why Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus has paid our sin debt. It is finished. It is paid in full. so that we do not have to pay. There is no double jeopardy on the cross or in God's kingdom. So the only thing we contribute to our salvation is the sin that made the cross necessary. Think about that. All that is left, therefore, is to believe that it is finished, to trust in the completed work of Jesus Christ on your behalf, and change the only thing that that thief on the cross we spoke of earlier had time to change: his heart. He was able to change his heart through repentance and confession, by confessing his sins to Jesus. And therefore, it is and it remains finished. Thanks be to God.